Welcome to Growing Forward Podcast. I'm your hostess, Bethany Latham. And today is my first official podcast. I have the great pleasure of speaking with Matt Dubois of Carolina Coops. Matt, I'm just so curious to hear all about how you got the idea for this business and how you started off, how you've grown. But maybe we can start at the very beginning if you're down for that.
Oh, absolutely. And that's one of my favorite questions because it's probably one of the most important parts. And so one, thank you for having me. And also, I'm your first.
Yes, I'm so excited.
Yes, love that. You just gave me goosebumps. Excellent. So, you know, I love that question because it doesn't get any more real when I think people can relate to it. And basically, when I'm asked, where did this business start? I have to say it started actually when I was in fifth grade. It was the hardest school year probably of my life, when it shouldn't be, right? You know, you're a kid, you're trying to enjoy life, this and that. And I had the worst teacher. And I also was about that age, I really started to struggle learning, and I hated it. And of course, when you're a kid, you don't understand. You're like, oh my God, I must be stupid. Everyone else is picking things up left and right, you know, da, da, da. Well, anyways, fast forward to spring. All right. My teacher comes in with this styrofoam cubic thing, whatever. I have no idea what it is. She got this, you know, big old red lamp and some other things. I'm like, oh my gosh, what is that? And she goes, well, we're going to hatch baby chicks. Now, I was born an animal lover, so I'm like, what? You kidding me? And I just became obsessed with it, where she was teaching me for the first time, and I was retaining it. I was learning. And I learned about the temperature, the humidity, candling, how they're developing, where I'll never forget. It might have been within that 21 days, maybe the week later, I'm really short. My teacher's tall. I'm looking up at her and her name was Miss Annunziata. I'll never forget. Like, Miss Annunziata, I'm pulling on her. I was like, the humidity is off 2%. And she kind of rolled her eyes and she goes, Matt, it'll be okay. And she kind of just stopped. And I could tell she had a moment. She looked down at me. She goes, where did you just come from? And she realized, like, this kid that I just, you know, who was not very good in school, this and that, all of a sudden I've engaged with him. Like, she saw a spark in me and I felt it too. So at that moment, I'll never forget going, when I get older, I want baby chicks. But here's also what happened and why I drove it deep. When after 21 days, the chickens hatched and I just, you know, fell in love with watching them hatch. This, you know, it's magical. If you've never seen it, it's just absolutely incredible. And to think, you know, you did this. It wasn't a mama hen. This was all mechanically done. We raised them. So they hatched on the Monday. And I think by the end of the week, you know, they're all fluffy and they're chirping, they're eating. And the time came where four of us students were allowed to bring them home. And luckily I was one of the four that got picked to bring them home. And I think we each were able to bring home six. And when the teacher called out the four students, I was the last one that she picked. And I'll never forget this. All the kids are like, oh, no, not Matt. No way. Don't let him take them home. They're all going to come back dead. He's going to kill them, this and that. So obviously that sucked. That kills you as a kid. You know. So I was like, huh. What, you know, I was just like dumbfounded. So anyways, I come back. So I bring home the baby chicks, had the best time of my life. You know, I'll never forget taping up my little walkie talkie button, putting that in the brooder so I could walk around the house and listen to them just in case something was going on. I know it sounds corny, but it's the truth.
No, that's awesome. It's so adorable.
So I come back Monday morning. I am the only one that brought back baby chicks alive.
Wow.
So as a little kid could, I pretty much gave them the middle finger.
Totally.
In a little kid way. And that made me, I learned something from that. And that was, I got this. You know, I don't know how else to explain it, but it just, that resonated with me. That is what drove it in. So fast forward to the good stuff, I guess. So fast forward to 2008, I'm finally doing things that I always wanted to do. And that was, I wanted to get out of New York State. I hate it up here. I hate the cold, hate the taxes, all that. I wanted to move to North Carolina where business is booming. I had a job that I absolutely loved, but I was really bored. And I had an opportunity to relocate with them. And that was literally January of 08, before the recession really started to hit. But when I moved there, I found out how Southerners really do hate Yankees. Oh, don't man. Blame them now after I got to learn that. But we really, I struggled. I really struggled with the company I transferred with, trying to make money. And at the same time, though, I still was able to buy my first house. And I went back to remember when I was a kid, I said, you know what? Now's my time. I want a couple chickens. So I only had like, I think a half acre in the city of Durham. And I went on Craigslist and I was looking around for someone that had chickens. And I found this lady up in Creedmoor, North Carolina. She said, yeah, come on up. So I went up there. I didn't know anything. And I saw all these same breed of chickens. I didn't even know at the time there's different breeds of chickens. And I just said, are they good chickens to have? She goes, yep. I said, okay, good enough for me. 20 bucks each. No big deal. Brought them home. And I brought them home to a chicken coop that I built from materials that I pulled out of a dumpster. Okay. And the reason why I had to pull them out of the dumpster is, again, it's a recession. I'm poor. I'm broke. Barely making any money. So I didn't have money to go buy materials. But as an exterminator at the time, I was still going around, you know, Durham. And it was, you know, there's still construction going on. So I was pulling wood out of dumpsters. So I built this really nice chicken coop. And, well, at least nice at the time. And I put them in there. And I want to say, because they were already maybe 16 weeks when I bought them. So in about, you know, 4 weeks after that, they finally laid eggs. I'll never forget coming home from work and having my first egg. And it's just, again, another great feeling that I'll never forget. And so I fell in love with it. And then I truly found out what people meant when they said, you've never tasted good eggs until you've had true fresh backyard eggs. I'm like, oh, how much better can eggs get? Oh my gosh. Blew me out of the water. It is just so much better tasting. You can see the difference in the look of the egg. And then, the other thing I got to mention too, that kind of makes this make sense is I have a child on the way that was unexpected. And I, at the time, was not someone that if you asked me, should I ever have a kid? I'm like, hell no. I'm the last person. I'm too selfish. I'm self-centered. I mean, you know, I'm the worst person to have a kid. But when I found out I was, that just, you go into survival mode, if you will, that just changed me where it's like, okay, I got to grow up. I got to come home at the end of the day and I got to take responsibility and take care of this human being. So I started thinking about my health and, you know, the food we're eating. So I was doing like all kinds of 180s and I found out how healthy and wholesome eggs are when you raise them in your backyard versus now I understand what I was seeing again, going back as an exterminator, when we used to do service at, you know, factory farms for like, say chicken hatcheries, it was awful. It was awful. And I didn't realize why I was seeing what I was seeing and, you know, why they're giving the chicken so many antibiotics to keep them alive because the conditions were so bad. That's just what I knew at the time. So anyways, I was like, oh my gosh, I want more chickens. So now we're finally getting to answer your question, kind of how it all we led up to it, is the coop I built was only 2 foot by 4 foot by maybe 2 foot tall. Way too small. It was perfect for two chickens, which is how I started. And I wanted more. So it was a really nice coop that I built and I decided to build a bigger one. And I didn't know what to do with this little one. I was like, well, Craigslist at the time was just, I was just getting to learn it. I was like, you know, let me take a couple pictures. I'll put it on Craigslist. So I did that. And I'll never forget sitting there going, this is kind of embarrassing. Who's going to buy this little tiny chicken coop? And I didn't know what price to put on it. So I said, well, let me put a couple $100 on it. If I don't get a bite, you know, no big deal. I'll just get rid of it. I sold it in 20 minutes for $200.
Wow.
And I was like,
you are in business.
Yeah, exactly. So the lady came out and I'm like, you sure you want to buy this? She goes, oh, absolutely. And she loved it. She thought it was the greatest thing ever. So $200 at that time, I was, because I'm living paycheck to paycheck. I mean, we're trying to keep the lights on, whatever. I was like, holy cow, this is awesome. So I left the ad up just to see how many more people would be interested in it. Mm. And I want to say it was a couple of days later, a girl called me up and she asked about the coop. I said, oh, I'm sorry. I haven't taken the post down. I sold it, which wasn't completely true, but whatever. She goes, well, that's okay. I'm kind of interested in a bigger coop anyways. Well, I already started a bigger chicken coop because again, I wanted more chicken. So, you know, again, and the size of this coop was actually dictated because I had to reclaim this old roof off an old shed that was falling apart, whatever. So I built it. I want to say it was like 8 by 8 by maybe 6 foot tall hen house. And I was just finishing it. So I said, listen, I'll send you the pictures. If you like what you see, I'll sell it to you. Sent her the pictures. She goes, my God, Matt, I love this. This is perfect. And I want to say it was $1,800 or $2,000.
Wow. That's
and
awesome.
No questions asked. She's paying me for this chicken coop and I'm getting glorified. I'll never forget. People are like, this is amazing. And I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing, but awesome.
Yes.
You know, and it was that coupe, to be honest with you, I'll never forget when I was building it. I'll never forget the moment where I put up the walls and I was like, you know, I should trim this out. I should make it look nice. And then the other side of me was like, nah, why waste my time? Don't waste the material. It's just a chicken coop. And then my other side came back in like, nah, let's make it nice. And that's what I did. And It was at that moment that I really felt was the beginning of Carolina Coupes, because it's almost that same look. Even the windows that I built are very similar to my, one of my most popular coupes today, the Carolina Coupe. And that is really how it all started. You know, hopefully that wasn't too long of an answer, but I think.
No, that's awesome. I love that.
I just like to kind of share that whole thing to help people realize they're not crazy if they haven't achieved something that maybe they wanted to do as a kid. And that's kind of what leads me into. So one of the things I hope to do when I retire is to get that courage out of people.
It sounds like when you were a kid, you had your first confidence building experience surrounding chickens. And it's so cool that you've been able to build what is now a very successful company around this. And, you know, you're also addressing food security and community and resiliency and empowering people to grow their own food.
Yeah, I tell you what, I am still, I've gone back and looked at our final edits of the video you and I did together, and I'm still like, oh my gosh, this chick is awesome, because the words you use are spot on, like, you know, the security of the food. And when you talked about what you wanted to engage in a conversation with entrepreneurship, which has become just a huge passion of mine, you had me excited. And you would not believe also how many people have reached out to me on the side from that video. I even got a call yesterday where the father is going to get a chicken coop because the conversation you and I had, he had no idea. He goes, what do you mean when they clean eggs? You know what I mean? So it's incredible. What you're doing changes lives for the good. So I think it's awesome.
It's so important to keep these conversations going. I think, you know, when you get really dialed into a niche of interest, like I have with permaculture and regenerative agriculture and food systems, it's easy to forget that a lot of people aren't having these conversations. And even my dad went and watched our video, and he, like, I grew up on a farm, a very small farm that he had. It was like an acre. And, you know, he had chickens when I was little. And he said, I didn't know that chicken eggs had porous shells. And, you know, it's really interesting. Sometimes people just don't realize what's going on.
Yeah. And I didn't either at one point. And that's why I love just trying to share what I've learned in hopes to just simply educate. And what I'm a big fan of is, you know, people don't have to believe what I believe, but I want people to start educating themselves and making a decision. And that's where we suck today. We have just become such lazy, fat followers, and we just believe everything we see and read. And this is just—
Yeah, usually in the media, which is like completely corrupted and just spewing lies right and left.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think it's awful. And, you know, but in my opinion is, it's like, you know, let them do that, but stop just believing. It's like people need to start realizing again, it's almost like our food. We take even our news media. Convenience is just absolutely destroying our lives.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree with you. So had you always wanted to be an entrepreneur before you started Carolina Coupes?
You know, that I love that question too, because I didn't always want to be an entrepreneur. I knew I was born an entrepreneur. And the reason why I think I need to be very clear there is I talk to a lot of people now, before and now, about start business and running a business, and, you know, people that got this great idea and they want to start a business, or they're running a business and they're struggling. A true entrepreneur, you just know it. I don't know if you really learn it. You just have that desire to sell something that you believe in, especially when you create it yourself. And that was actually always me, even as a kid. I mean, I remember always trying to hustle and sell something. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't to make money. You know what I mean? That was my chase. That was my addiction. That was my, just to be able to earn someone's trust you know, right. Even as a kid, whether it's selling candy bars to, I'll never forget as a kid selling Melaleuca. I don't know if you ever heard of that, but I just loved entrepreneurship.
That's such a common answer among entrepreneurs, people who are really successful. It's like, I've just been doing this my whole life. It's like that burn, that desire that fuels you to do something that's interesting and original. I think that's so cool. So you've talked about, you know, you've put your coop on Craigslist, you got a bite, you got another bite, you sold a coop that was bigger. And for what must have at that time been, must have been like, whoa, I just won the lottery. I just sold a coop for, did you say like, you know, $1,000?
It was $2,000, but it felt like I won the lotto.
And at that point, were you like considering quitting your exterminating job or, you know, did you just keep doing both things for a while?
So at that point, I once again, I remember driving home, talking to my girlfriend. I was like, what's going on here? We just got paid $2,000 for something that I've all my life have taken for granted. I have always been able to build anything, especially for animals. And that's the other thing too, I guess that makes me weird or unique, is I've always built animal enclosures. Ever since I was a kid, I'll never forget building my bedroom into an iguana cage. I actually lived in it, you know, but they were always really nice. People would come over and they're like, wow, this is like being in a museum. And I just always did it. Anyways, so I was just like, wow, $2,000. Like I almost felt bad. But when you really start to add up your time and materials, this and that, and again, there's a lot to learn about running a business, so much to learn. I had no thought at all that I was ever going to quit my job and run my own business, even though like way, way deep inside, I was like, I so want to be an entrepreneur. I so want to have my own business because I can't be told what to do, if you will, unless you're a customer. I don't know how to explain it. Like I did not do well in corporate America. I do so much better for people when I'm kind of left to be free. So, I never even thought about quitting my job until probably a year later, but we just kept getting busier and busier with the coops. Every coop I built, you know, was considered custom. I would take a picture of it, put it on Craigslist, add it to my arsenal. Like, hey, look at what I've built. And then people would take from it and go, what about this? What about this? What about adding this? Oh, I love this. And what happened is I want to say, let's see. So, 2 years later is actually when we really started talking about me quitting my job and going legit. And that's the other big difference. You know, there's a lot of people that say they own a business, run a business, this and that, but they're not even legit. Like they don't even know what it's like to have to give up 30% of your income to Uncle Sam and yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a different story because that makes you have to make harder and different decisions on how to run the business. But I got so burned out from working at Ecolab and then coming home and literally every single night. Oh God. It's hard to look back on it, but it is what it is. I'll never forget at the time, you know, my son, Mikey, my girlfriend, she would bring him out every night. And I'm just like, oh my God, another day went by, another day went by, another day went by. It's like, he's always looking bigger and bigger every time she'd bring him out. And I'm just like, what am I doing? But there's this drive that just keeps you going. And we got to a point where after we were talking about quitting, because it's like, okay, I need to quit. I think we can do this. I think we can bring in enough income, but it's scary. It's like jumping off a cliff without a parachute.
Sure.
I'll never forget. I think it had to be a weekend because it was, you know, during the daytime. I looked out on my driveway and I was building a chicken coop and I saw my son riding his bike, his little tricycle for the first time. And I was there, but I wasn't there. And that is when I decided, screw this. I don't want to look back and have any regrets. I've got to do this. I got to at least try. And I realized, I'm like, even if I fail, which to an entrepreneur is not an option, because that's the other thing you got to understand.
Absolutely.
Failure is just not an option. And I was so scared of failure. But you have, you know, then I realized then too, the biggest risk in life is not taking a risk at all. And that just hit me so hard when I heard that. And I was like, I got to do it. I got to do it. I don't ever want to look back and regret not doing something. Of course, I also had so many naysayers of people that were close to me where I was hinting like, hey, I should quit my job. And you listen to those naysayers. And what I realized now looking back, and something I always tell other people that are thinking about starting their own businesses and that, and I could tell right away a true entrepreneur from a fake one, someone that's just trying to, they think they can make $1 million real quick. that you want naysayers. You actually want the negative people in your life because they will fuel your fire to prove them wrong. There is no better success in life than revenge. Yeah, I know that sounds awful, but I'm a little bitter, you know, because I'm coming off of 11 tough years, but I'm proud of these years now. And I can honestly now say, you know what? I have walked the walk. You can look back on my history, the sacrifice myself, my family, and now my coworkers have made to make us where we are today. And I couldn't have done it if I didn't have the naysayers. If I didn't have, you know, like I'm teaching my general manager, it's okay if a customer's pissed off, you know, excuse my language, but you got to learn from them. And you can't always think that it's always us. You know, they may just have a bad day at work or they're fighting with their husband, but always learn even from the bad people in your life.
I think an empathetic way to look at that too, I know there are those people in my life who are not entrepreneurs and who are always going to look at everything from a place of caution. And, you know, they just don't want to see you fail, even though for you, that's not an option, right? But for a lot of people, I think it's just that the risk of entrepreneurship is kind of terrifying. They would rather just have a stable job and retire at 60 and come home every day and kind of unplug, right? But when you're an entrepreneur and you're running your own business, you never do that.
So they say, you know, to be honest with you, with that subject, that topic, I have found naysayers, they don't want to see you succeed because they are too scared themselves. They're just going to end up jealous, you know? And that's the other thing about when you become successful with a business, your friends change. Unfortunately, people look at you differently, because they don't have a real understanding of what it's really like, and it is what it is. But I can now look back, and especially the naysayers in the beginning, and, you know, to be honest with you, my sister was a huge one. She, you know, 6 years apart, she's my older sister. That's a whole nother story, but I just had this condition. I didn't realize of always trying to make her happy, that she always had to be proud of me no matter what. And I didn't realize even until starting the business, I was still doing that. And when she was telling me, you know, you shouldn't quit your job, you should stay with Ecolab, you got to have the consistency, this, this, and this, you know, I was listening to her. I was like, yeah, she's probably right. But then I realized now looking back, she was a miserable and still is human being. And she did not want to see us succeed. She hated it. And I truly feel that a lot of people that think they want to start a business or start, it doesn't even have to be a business, whatever it is that they want to do, they're so scared of failure that they don't do it in the first place. And they'll try to shoot the other people down when they chase their dreams. And that's what it is just doing what it is you want to do. And because so many people don't do that, no matter what it is, you see it in so many things today. It doesn't matter if, you know, trying to find a relationship, trying to find a job. So many people are lying to themselves and not being who they are to try to go please, especially today's social media, and make your life look good. You are bringing the wrong things into your life versus when you are who you really are, doing what you really want to do, you end up through natural selection, if you will, of life, end up around the people that are meant to be around you. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So that's just something that I think a lot of people don't realize, especially people that also drive me nuts that are so freaking negative. When you're so, they're negative so much, well, you wonder why so much negativity happens to you.
Right. You're manifesting your destiny with your thoughts. I heard somewhere recently someone said, like, the stronger you become, the more you will be hated by weak people.
Yes. Oh my God, that's so true.
Yeah. So now you've decided to leave your job. You're going to dive into this full time. Was it just you for a while, or did you bring on like helpers immediately?
You know, it's funny because Nan, who I've been with her 20, gosh, gotta be 23 years now. Definitely none of this would be possible without her. She's my biggest supporter. She's always, always, always there. You talk about just making sure you have the right people in your life, because if you don't, it's going to be hell. She actually stepped up to the plate and started building Coops herself before I quit Ecolab. Because also what is also happening when we moved to North Carolina, she couldn't find a job anywhere. She was the breadwinner, if you will, the family, because she was a bartender. And then when you're at a very high-end golf course in New York State, she just made a killing. People love her, made a ton of money. She couldn't find a job anywhere. So my income was really the only income. And so we're like, you know what? Why don't you go out there and I'll teach you how to build some chicken coops? And she did it. And she did it extremely well. She didn't like it. But I'll never forget realizing I learned so much about her, because that's you know, when people are willing to sacrifice for someone else, that's when you know they really love you. That's when you know you have trust. That's when you know you got a good partner to go into no matter what it is. And the other thing too, I'll never forget this, that happened is I was talking to a customer one time and I told him, I said, you know, Nan's going to build the coop for you, da, da, da. I witnessed sexism firsthand for the first time ever, where he goes, well, is she going to build it as good as you? And he totally was like, well, she's a woman, you know, she's not going to be able to build it that well. And I was like, wow, you're a dick. Like, I couldn't believe it. But perception is everything. And no matter what, and you got to learn as an entrepreneur, you're always selling. You're selling yourself, selling your company, and you got to listen and learn what perception is. So she did it. She crushed it. She did extremely well, but she hated it. And I don't blame her. So I ended up quitting. And I remember thinking, oh, I'm going to have all this free time. And all that happened was I ended up busier than ever. So we did end up hiring. Actually, no, I didn't hire him. He just showed up in my driveway. I'll never forget it. While I was doing the chicken coops, I was also – I love to build furniture, especially reclaimed furniture. And I had this contact from Craigslist, which I made some of my best friends, best contacts ever. It was off of Craigslist. And he wanted – he kept throwing me work to build this custom furniture that he made it look like he built it or whatever, but he really didn't. And he would ship them all around the world. That's pretty cool. I had some amazing work. Well, anyways, I was getting behind. So I walk out of my kitchen door one morning and here's this six foot nine and a half
whoa,
tall kid. And I look up at him. I go, well, what are you doing here? He goes, I'm here to help you. I go, you are? He goes, yeah. I was building furniture for this guy named Clayton. He goes, I'm Clayton's friend. I'm here to help you get this furniture done. I go, I'm like, he's paying you? He goes, yeah. I go, hell yeah, let's go, buddy. So we worked together so well, and he was such a great guy that I ended up hiring him to build the chicken coops, and he stopped building the furniture. And so he was technically my first employee. And again, I also learned the value of having a tall person around, because I'm short. When you got a tall person around, you don't have to go get the ladder as much. But that poor guy, he hit his head so many times during the daytime. I feel sorry for him. But I ended up, when we moved back to New York, I lost him. If I was still down there, he would still be working for me for sure. But we did end up having to make a tough decision to move back to New York. And, you know, that's where a lot of things changed.
So now Carolina Coops is Carolina Coops in New York.
Yeah, I know. That sounds crazy. And at least once a week, I still have to explain it to people so they don't think I'm trying to mislead them. But, you know, in – I want to say it was probably around 2012, we were still, you know, paycheck to paycheck. We were still coop to coop every week. And for me, that kept me in survival mode. That kept me hungry and just working my butt off to make sure we can make money. And I'm learning because I needed to grow because I didn't want to have to keep struggling every week. But for Nan, and I don't blame her. She's in charge of the bills. She's a full-time mother, which is the hardest job on this planet. And she, I'll never forget one day, she goes, my nickname's Dube. She goes, Dube, because of Dubois. She goes, Dube, I'm not leaving you, but I'm going home. You can come with me if you want. And I'm like, what's going on? She goes, I'm going back to the golf course to work. They want me back. And I want to say it was that afternoon I walked across the road to my neighbor who was, he was checking his mailbox. So I went out there kind of at the same time to pretend I was checking mine. And he always joked around wanting to buy our house. And I asked him, you want to buy our house? He goes, yep. So sold my house, I guess you could say, in 30 seconds, and packed up and moved up to New York. And that's actually one of the – probably one of the best things I ever did now looking back. But I would have never known if I didn't go through it. But so yeah, we moved back to New York. But I kept the name Carolina Coops because, again, at that point though, we were starting to get known as Carolina Coops, especially that there were – quote unquote competitors, if you will, on Craigslist. And now of course on websites in the local Raleigh area. And you, when you become the leader, you become hated. So I took a lot of criticism
for our coops.
Sure. I'm sure that's very brutal. Especially in the video world, it seems like people can be super nasty on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. And you have to learn. I learned real quick. I just let it. Yeah, I try to let it roll off my shoulders. Now, I still get crazy. I have a couple of people that will make some comments, and I've gotten a little bit better where I don't just respond right away. I hit up my marketing/website social media lady. I'm like, you need to answer this before mm-hmm. I do, because I'm going to say something I shouldn't. And she does a really good job at it. But yeah, it can be brutal. But I've learned, you know, kind of like what you're saying, you know, and I wanted to write that down. What did you say? The stronger you become,
the more weak people hate you.
Yes, dude. So that's it. That is so true. And I've learned that through owning this business.
Yeah. And it's a good thing to know in life. You don't have to be friends with everyone. Not everyone's going to want to see you succeed. And it's good to recognize those people, and just, we have a very limited amount of time, right? That's the thing we all share is our amount of time that we have. And some people just aren't worthy of the time, unfortunately.
Yep. And that's another thing, again, going back to owning a business, what we all have equally, nobody can deny this. We all have 24 hours in a day. Mm-hmm. And it's what you do in that 24 hours is what makes a difference between someone that is going to be unsuccessful and miserable and successful and happy. It doesn't always have to be money. And sometimes the most miserable people on this planet are the people that are the richest. So the definition of success, yeah, it's what you do within those 24 hours. That's what we all have the same.
Absolutely. And so it sounds like family has always really been your motivation, you know, taking care of your family and your kiddos, and then also trying to do something that you're passionate about. Is that still your motivation, or has that kind of changed as you've seen your company grow in success?
Oh, yeah. When you become a parent, if something doesn't change you, something's wrong with you. Mm-hmm. When you look back at that face that you realize is your face, and you are now responsible for that human being, it changes you. You should become a better person. You want to be a better person, no matter what that is. And for me, I realized I don't ever want them to struggle like I did. I grew up really poor. I grew up going to bed most of my nights hungry. So I never want my kids to go through that. But I also don't want them to be those snobby brats,
right?
You know, where you see a lot nowadays. And I'm no perfect parent. I still have to be careful, especially, you know, again, owning a business. It does consume a lot of your time, but you just are always, at least for me, wanting to make them proud. I love when I have the opportunity to bring them with me on the road and get them to see what daddy does, well, daddy and mommy. And hope that by me doing what I love to do, what we love to do, it's going to bring good people in our lives, great contacts, and great exposure to things that will pass off to them. Whether or not they take over the business, that's going to be completely up to them. But they get to travel. They get to experience so many different things, you know, the foods, the people,
yes,
the culture.
Yes, that's such a cool thing about your job. It seemed like when I got to watch you guys build the coop here in Santa Fe, it was like – this feeling of really camaraderie and like family within that crew that you've got on site, your guys you bring out to do the build. And I'm curious, Nan, is that your partner's name?
Yes.
Nan. So she didn't like building, but she's still involved with Carolina Coops.
Oh, God, yeah. She is the glue that keeps it all together. She, so there is, I think, 14 of us now.
Oh, wow.
And I think her title is... she always called herself the secretary, but I'm like, nah, no, you're not a secretary. Especially because of her relationship with me, she takes on a more authoritative role. But so she pays the bills. She's in charge of human resources, and many, many, many times, and she's done it once again, she's picking up sales because she's really good at it. She knows coops in and out. She knows chickens. She knows construction, and she's great with people. People absolutely love her. But she hates sales, you know. I hate that part of it, but it is what it is. She does not like selling. She's a numbers person, which is the opposite of me. She likes the administrative office stuff, the bookkeeping. When you become a legitimate business, you find out not only do you got to pay more money than you thought you ever had to, people are always knocking at your door. People are always, you know, you got to be careful of lawsuits. You got to have insurance. You got to do things that to make sure that business stays out of trouble. And so that's what she does.
Okay. Yeah, that's something that's very daunting, I think, to a lot of entrepreneurs. Nobody really teaches you all the boxes you have to check. And it's not like if you don't know about something, the government's not going to be really nice about it, right? They're not going to come say, oh, hey, by the way, you forgot to get this thing that you have to have.
Not until it's too late. Oh, yeah. Trust me. They love it. You know, and that's a whole nother story. But again, you know, talking about entrepreneurship, you the other thing you realize, especially when you own the company, you have to change. You know, I can't tell you, I mean, I love building. I can't tell you last time I built a coupe. You know, I do go out on the road, I assemble. But my primary job is to make sure the phone rings, you know, get in front of the videos. I become the face of the company. And also my job is to make sure I can predict what people are going to want to buy in five mm-hmm. and 10 years, you know, so that I make sure people never lose their job. But yeah, I swear I spend more time making sure – it has nothing to do with building the chicken coops. It has to do with everything else, it seems like. You know, the other thing I'll never forget my father telling me, who's been in business his whole life. He always told me you got to get three people, a lawyer, an accountant, and a banker. He goes, you get three of those people, you're going to be all set. And I'm like, yeah, right, whatever. Well, he was spot on. Until I got those three that are really, really good people, it was tough to run a business. But you pay for what you get, but it's really important or it'll come back and bite you. Whether, you know, OSHA comes knocking on your door, even the local code enforcer, you know, you got to be ready for it and just understand that's just part of business.
Yeah, that's really great advice. So how do you see your business progressing and growing going forward?
My goals, if you will, how I see it. Well, how I see it and what I hope may be two different things. But vision, again, having that positive feeling and motivation and that vision in your head does make it where that's the direction you had. So I'm hoping that we are going to continue to grow with our mass production line. And the reason for that is, you know, a business does two things. It either grows or dies. And I see our biggest potential to grow financially is through mass production, the best coupe for the best price, and be able to provide that to the masses. And at the same time, I will always do the custom coupes. The custom coupes is definitely what's put us on the map. The custom coupes are what we're known for. And I truly believe that, you know, when people continue to see us on YouTube doing the custom coupes, even though, you know, 99.9% of America would never pay or that much money for a custom coupe, we earn their trust and allow us to earn their trust to purchase the mass production coupe. And I know sometimes we think of mass production as not as good quality, you know, not as good as, you know, again, in this case, the custom coupes, but that's not the case with us. I am trying to reinvent mass production in America instead of China, where it doesn't have to be the cheap products. It doesn't have to be to keep cutting the corners, and it doesn't have to be, you know, just to make a quick buck. I truly believe that if we continue to stay true to, in this case with chickens, what chickens really want, what we have learned, and we just continue to be smarter about it, we'll dominate it. And it has been one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life is to try to run a business doing mass production. You would think it would be easy. You would think it would be easier to build the same thing over and over. No, it's not. I find it so much easier to build complicated, complex chicken coops than a $2,000 chicken coop over and over. Just so many complications with it. And to be honest with you, I don't like mass production. It's not my specialty. I like custom. I'm not a numbers person. So that might have a part of why I'm struggling with it. But other people too, and I might be kind of hard on myself, a lot of people would come in and say, our volunteers to help entrepreneurs, they've come in and said, Matt, you're doing good. You don't need us. Like, what are you talking about? But I know I hold ourselves to high expectations. So that's kind of my vision. And I hope to be there, but do I see it? I don't know. I want to say I do, but our custom coupes are when I close my mind and I think about our future, that's what I see.
The custom coupes.
Because that's what, people just love it.
Yeah, they're gorgeous. And you have to, you know, if you enjoy the custom coupes and that's where your passion is and your heart is, then, you know, that's always what's going to keep you going, right? What catches your interest.
Yeah, exactly. Like, look at, I got to follow my own advice.
Yeah.
You know, I talk absolutely. About being something that you're meant to be. I'm not meant to be a factory manager running mass production. But I'm not a dummy. I know there's great business there, and it's almost come down to where it's like, you know, I need to step away from this and let someone else run the mass production. Cause I know there's people out there that's what they love.
Build a custom coupe. Maybe that's exactly what you should do.
Yeah. So hopefully one day I'll find someone, cause I would love to hand it off.
Anyone out there listening who's qualified.
Yeah. Give me a call.
I think it's really important too, but we need to bring manufacturing back into the United States.
Yep.
And from my understanding of your products, your coupes that you're making over and over again are at a lower price point and they're a perfected design, right? So it's a very high quality product. It's just not like a coupe that matches your mansion.
Exactly. But people love it. 95% of our coupes are our mass production coupes, our American coupe and our California coupe. It's not as well-oiled machine as I feel it should be. I don't think it's anywhere close, but we are still almost doubling in gross sales every single year. We're on track. I'm not trying to brag. It's just, it is what it is. This is a number I never thought we would reach. Hopefully this year we'll hit 2 million. I just hit 1 million for the first time last year, I think it was. We're just finishing, 2 years ago, technically. I'm just finishing up last year's fiscal year.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's, now trust me, I'm no millionaire. Every dollar, true entrepreneurs will also understand this. We don't want to pay ourselves. We don't care about paying ourselves. Our piggy bank is the business, no matter what it is, whether it's the machine, adding onto the building, or your most important tool is your people, reinvesting in them. And that's what I've done. Every single penny that can goes right back into the company and continue to grow it. So it's working. And I'm just, you know, we met with a bookkeeper the other day. Again, talk about got to have the right people. For the first time in 11 years, our books are current. For the first time, I go to the bookkeeper and go, where are we today? And I have accurate numbers. And she showed them to me. And I was just like, you got to be kidding me. This is incredible.
That's so exciting. Congratulations, man.
Thank you. So something's working. And that's my goal is that – and I was just talking to Nan today. I go, are we really still selling out many mass production coupes? And she goes, are you kidding me? So it's telling me it's working. But I believe – it can be possible in America, which is very, very hard to do because the cost is high. But there's no comparison. When you look at our American coupe, which is our number one seller, you know, and that one, I want to say retails now for, I think it's 2,700, 2,800. Try to compare that to your Chinese coffin coupes that come in from China. That might be $300-$400. That's who we're competing against, but there's no comparison. It's all about the size of the coupe, in my opinion. And obviously, it has to be good quality and built right and whatever. But size does matter when it comes to chicken coops. So if you look at the price per square foot, you see a much better value for per square foot that you're paying for with our chicken coop. But the problem is still $400 is easier to shell out versus, you know, $2,800. And a lot of people too, and here's something that I can't emphasize enough, especially to people that are thinking about getting into chickens, is it's all about the chicken coop. And just because a chicken coop company from China says, oh yeah, you put 6 to 8 chickens in this coop, doesn't mean you can. You know, you would think a chicken coop company wouldn't lie, but I'm sorry, it's a complete lie. And I've done videos out there to try to explain to people, again, going back to, you know, you don't have to believe me, but and make a decision for yourself. I'm going to explain why.
Sure.
And that's what I love about our coops is I just think when you break it down, the value you get is incredible.
Yeah. I know from my experience when I decided I wanted to get chickens like 2 years ago now, I was initially going to try to build my own coop. And so I went to Home Depot and I was with my mom and she's like, she has a ton of experience with carpentry and stuff and she's super handy lady. So she's trying to help me figure out all the different things I need. And when you get down to it with all of the, you know, fixings and all the different pieces of wood, it was going to be like at least $300 or $400. And then my time, which is of course limited. Mm-hmm. And then I see this like pre-made, I had to assemble it, but I'm not proud to say it. I bought the Chinese chicken coop that got shipped over the sea to get here, which I'm also just kind of ethically opposed to the carbon footprint of that and like the factory labor that's going into making it. But I bought it, I assembled it at home, and it fell apart like, you know, so quickly, to the point where I had to like bring in other pieces of wood to reinforce it and you know, try to fix it because it's just the most rickety thing. And I had to clean it every week. And, you know, there's just a lot more maintenance that goes into something like that.
Here's the thing. And I just – if it takes someone to start this hobby, to feel comfortable starting, to shell out maybe $300-$400 for a coop, then, you know, I don't want to say then let's do it just to get you started. I worry how many people get out of the hobby because they either, you know, have predator problems or they have disease problems. The chickens are dying of maybe heat. And it in my opinion, it's usually not the chickens. It's the coop. I don't want them to get out of the hobby. And I replace those coops constantly. But it's hard if you think about it without having people like us out there saying, hey, wait a minute, let's talk about chickens and here's what you need to know. It doesn't make sense right away if you think about it. I'm going to buy a $2, $3 baby chick, but yeah, I'm supposed to turn around and spend $3,000 on a chicken coop. To most people, that doesn't make sense, you know? But when you start to learn about it and think about it, especially again, our coops, they should last a lifetime. You know, I can't wait, you know, another hopefully 30, 40 years. I'll go back to our first coop we ever built. So, yep, they're still standing. And I've done that too. I've gone back to our coops now. They're 10 years old. And they look brand new. And I love the feedback from our customers.
It's worth it. It's the bottom line. It's worth it.
Oh, absolutely. Bottom line, I think it's definitely worth it. I need to educate people as to why. Or if you're not going to buy one of my coops, then learn from my videos and learn how to build your own coop. And I have so many people generous enough to even donate money, which I'll just donate to like a local animal shelter or whatever, say, you know what, Matt, I built my own coop. Thank you so much for your time. I learned so much from your videos. To me, that's all well worth it because at least they didn't purchase a cheap coop. And they also, not only did they build themselves a coop and it's probably a great coop and it's successful for their chickens. Think about the time they probably had with their child maybe or their partner, whatever, building something. They can step back and look at it and go, I built that. So I think there's a lot of good that a lot of people don't realize that just comes from chickens and even when you build your own coop.
You can tell that your heart's in the right place. You'd rather people do it right than even just give you business. But I just quickly ran the numbers on it. And, you know, I am against animal cruelty as you are. So I don't buy like the cheapest eggs in the grocery store because those are from horrible places. So if you're buying an organic, locally raised egg where those chickens have a good life, you're going to probably spend at least $6 on it, right? Family of four, maybe you're eating a dozen eggs a week. You could be eating more than that easily. But let's say you're eating a dozen eggs a week. If you spend $2,000 on a coop, you will make your money back in 6 years. That's not bad at all for a coop that's going to last a lifetime.
Right. And the wholesome, healthy eggs, the time you get to spend with the chickens, learning and spending time with your family. You know, one of my favorite things is to bring one, my little girl, she's my shadow. She'll come out. First thing she'll do is go run into the egg hutch, go in to collect the eggs, and just learning about the cycles.
Yes.
And even bringing our table scraps going out there where most of it gets wasted. Here we get to let the chickens consume it, which will allow us to have some great tasting eggs and the fertilization that they're offering.
Yeah. And it's just it's a miraculous thing to interact with animals and that egg that's been produced by an animal that, you know, becomes like a part of your family. At least my chickens always do. And then you end up getting to eat it and it's delicious. It's the most natural thing. And it's super healing, I think, in these times when we're so cut off from our food chain.
That's what's one of the biggest problems, I think, in our life right now is, again, like we were talking about in our video out at the Santa Fe coop, our food has become so convenient, it's killing us.
Nutrient void. Well, we are reaching the end of our time here. And I just have a few questions for you. First of all, what is your required reading for our listeners?
Wow. I get asked a lot of questions. I've never been asked that. And the reason why I'm laughing is, to be honest with you, I am not a big reader. I actually can't stand reading. However, you know, one of my first books that I absolutely loved, you know, I mean, I'm assuming it has to do with chickens,
whatever,
you know, it required reading, because I can think of some other things, but well, we'll stick to chickens. I got to keep myself out of trouble. You know, if you're thinking about reading for chick, you know, gosh, it's down in my office. My first book was Chicken for Dummies. And I loved that book because it was easy reading. Again, I don't like to read. And also, I have an eye condition a lot of people don't realize. It was called visual snow. It's absolutely awful. So I have a hard time reading. And it's another reason why I kind of going back to being a kid, I struggled. So I have to make sure it's short and to the point. And Chickens for Dummies, I just absolutely loved that book.
My next question for you is, and this might be kind of funny question for you as well, but what is your favorite plant and why? You're not going to get in trouble here. You can say whatever plant you want.
Well, I do have to say, I mean, I have so many, and I'm not a big plant person, but I know when I should appreciate something, especially when it comes to flowers and things like that. But I have to go to the hemp plant for sure, especially because there's so much history in hemp, and it was abolished, but it's making a comeback, and a big part of my business is hemp. And I just think that there is so much, you know, to come from, I mean, the marijuana plant in general, from the CBD to all the medicinal purposes that has. And of course, on the industrial side, from making paper to textiles and with our hemp bedding, it has allowed our customers to spend so much less time cleaning out their chicken coop. So I just, my favorite, that is an interesting question. I would definitely have to say the hemp plant.
That's an awesome answer. And then my final question for you is, what advice would you give to someone who has the vision for a business or initiative, or maybe they've already started something, just to keep them going forward?
Listen to people that have truly done it. You don't learn unless you listen. And I can tell you, I'm so fortunate that I've had great people in my life that were business owners. And some of my hardest times of running this business were turned around by listening to successful entrepreneurs. And their advice, you know, is good advice when you don't understand it. Or, you know, I love my mentor. I have to mentally prepare myself months in advance to have a conversation with him. But it is that effective. And the man is just brilliant, and he will beat you up and spit you out, but he'll also glorify you where it's due. But you got to love honest people like that. So I would say, you know, if you're struggling, which I have for sure, go talk to people that when you listen to what they're saying, going, that doesn't make any sense. That's when you really need to listen to what they're saying.
That's awesome advice. All right. Where can people find you?
People can find me, carolinacoops.com. That's our website. And of course, Facebook, we're on there. Instagram, we are on there. Again, it's all under Carolina Coops. And Twitter, I think we also do a lot of Twitter. Oh, you know what's the other big one? I didn't realize this. I never go to it, but my marketing lady, she's like, dude, we're crushing it on Pinterest. I'm like, Pinterest? Yeah, I completely forgot that app existed, but a lot of referrals to our website come from Pinterest. So, but definitely CarolinaCoops.com.
CarolinaCoops.com. And you also have a really great presence on YouTube. And I'll put a link to the video that you and I were able to do together in Santa Fe in the show notes. And just thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to come talk to me about this. It's been really interesting.
You are more than welcome. And I can't thank you enough. I know we talked about it when we were in Santa Fe, and I was like, ah, she's never going to give us a call. But I'm so glad you did. I love following your stuff on Instagram. You take great pictures, and you can see the love you have for what you're doing. So bravo to you. I applaud that you get it. Our time is so limited on this planet. Go do what makes you happy, because it's going to be over before we know it. So enjoy it while it lasts.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Matt.
You're welcome. I'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Bye.